Biden's approval rating continues to drop. Larry Elder gets attacked, and the CDC has changed the definition of vaccine. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So Biden is the person that everyone looks to when we're trying to figure out exactly what in the world happened in this past election. I mean, seriously, if you look at the speeches that he's done, if you look at YouTube, just everywhere that this guy is speaking at, if you're looking at the response, you're seeing a massive amount of dislikes, almost no likes. It just seems like Americans in general just aren't on Biden's side. If you're looking at any of the things that he's actually doing, any of the places where he's at, you have people creating different chants now against Biden. And now we're actually seeing some of that stuff in the polls as well, in the approval rating, as with a few other issues that are going to be talked about as well. So going into what's actually happening here, the first part of this poll is actually dealing with the disapproval of Biden. So now nearly half of the public, 49%, disapprove of Biden's job performance in this one, and this was conducted Saturday through Tuesday of this week. And in addition to that, the poll found that only 39% of Americans actually approved of the job that he's doing as president. That's a drop in 6 weeks, by the way, or 6 points in the last week. So this is pretty big. We're seeing a trend here, a downward trajectory of people that actually like what he's doing. Now, the thing is that we know that between Democrat and Republican, it's fairly 50-50 on things, generally speaking. So typically, you know, a president kind of has around a 50% approval or something like that. But when you see numbers dip this low, there's a major amount of people that probably guaranteed voted for Biden that are now saying this is not good. I don't agree with what's going on right now. So there's a few more things to discuss on here as well. So for the first time, a greater share of Americans actually disapprove, 45%, of Biden's handling of the coronavirus pandemic and then approve at 42%. So this week, just 40% approve of his handling on the economy, while 47% disapprove. And then in the previous weeks, more usually have had more approved than disapproved. But now we're seeing more people are disapproving of him than are approving of him. So the numbers are flipping. The perceptions around this presidency is changing. And it's a good thing that people are finally, I think, waking up to what's going on in this country. Because the reality is that Biden's handling of this pandemic has been absolutely terrible. We're looking at that right now. I mean, a lot of people are passing this off because the mainstream media has refused to really talk about it. But let's think about this for a second. I mean, literally a couple of months ago, Biden was on the world stage telling everybody in the United States that if they got this vaccine, COVID was going to basically go away. He was saying that it is the unvaccinated that need to be scared about this, but if you get the vaccine, we will be able to end this whole process. And what took place? Nothing. It's actually gotten a lot worse. Nothing has improved whatsoever because he put his faith in this vaccine that was never going to actually be effective. It was too fast. It wasn't tested properly. And now we're seeing the results of this. Don't pay attention to the mainstream media telling you one thing while the numbers are showing you something else. That's one of the biggest issues that I have going on right now with what's happening in society is that you literally have the media telling you that it's all about the unvaccinated. It's all about those people, those evil people that refuse to get a vaccine. It's all about them. Meanwhile, the numbers are telling us otherwise. There's no way that every person that's ending up in the hospital is unvaccinated. And we know as a result of what the CDC has told us as well, that the people that are actually considered in their eyes as unvaccinated could have been vaccinated, but it has to be 14 days since they had a vaccine of them catching COVID-19. If they catch it before or in that window of 14 days, then they consider them as unvaccinated. So we can't trust the numbers. We can't trust the people that are out there talking about this. But things are going worse as well in the economy. So only 16% of American adults now think the economy is improving. So nearly three times as many, 44%, say it is getting worse. Another 27% say the economy is about the same. And then at the beginning of the Biden presidency, just as a greater share of Americans as today said the economy was worsening, 44%. In January, and then also in February, they were doing that poll as well. But that obviously has changed quickly. So in May and part of June, more people said the economy was improving than worsening. And that's not the case anymore. The people are no longer under the perception that the economy is getting better. They're now under the impression, and rightly so, that things are getting significantly worse. So why is this changing? What took place that really caused all of this to evolve? And really, it's because of the fact that people are finally waking up to the fact that Biden doesn't know what he's doing with the economy either. I mean, the stimulus checks surely didn't help. Maybe they made people feel pretty good at the beginning. Maybe that's why the reports were pretty high. Like, hey, people are getting free money, all this unemployment. Well, that's going away. Eventually, it's going to have to go away. It can't last forever. I mean, this is why you never put your faith in the government. It doesn't make sense to do that. But these people are now kind of finally realizing that this isn't good. This isn't a good thing whatsoever. Especially, I mean, look at gas prices. Inflation is still a thing right now. It's just insane right now. So this week, only 1 in 4 Americans, which is 26%, believe the country is headed in the right direction, down from 39% in a poll in June. So 6 to 10 see the country as on the right track, up from 48% in the same poll in June. So more people now feeling that the country's heading in the wrong direction, more people that are disapproving of the way that Biden's taking his direction in this in the pandemic with the economy. The actual fact here is that most people are now finally waking up to what's going on, and it's proving itself in all of these polls. So I think the significance of this is hopefully that people start to wake up, and maybe these numbers will translate to something happening in 2022, such as Republicans picking up houses or seats in the House and in Congress as well, and in the Senate, because this is a big deal. And I hope that these numbers actually translate to something big that's going on, because every time Democrats get in charge, their policies become widely available for everyone to see how they will implement. They sound great at a debate or whatever to the Democrats, but when they're actually being put in place, when you put somebody like Biden, the empty suit person, in power, all of a sudden, you get to see exactly what that looks like. And I think a lot of people are saying, wow, I wish we could go back to the way things were. Even if it's last year, they don't want to be in this current situation under Biden right now. And these numbers are showing that regardless of what the mainstream media is deciding to tell us. But we can't trust the mainstream media. We already know that. And the thing is that in addition to it, as you all probably know by now, Larry Elder, I've talked about this before, is running for governor of California now, since Gavin Newsom is being recalled. All of this is taking place. He's been campaigning and speaking out about the things that he's trying to do and change in California. And of course, this has drawn the ire of many of the Democrats that absolutely hate any time a black person doesn't agree with them. So there was already this Washington Post article, I believe it was, that was calling Larry Elder the black face of white supremacy. And now you have this California state professor calling him the black face on white supremacy. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's almost like these people talk to each other and kind of figured out what they're going to call Larry Elder. And that's basically what's taking place right now. So a California professor campaigning for Gavin Newsom, which is even worse, referred to Larry Elder as a blackface on white supremacy during the event, by the way, with Newsom on Monday. So as I mentioned, the article has talked about this already. You had a different person that wrote that article, but they already have called him this before. So the California state senator actually chimed in on this, saying that there's a recall challenger who thinks he might have an edge because of his color. But racism comes in all shapes, sizes, and we're not stupid. This is from the California state senator. So, okay, let's dissect what she's talking about here. So first of all, why is it that she's assuming that Larry Elder thinks he's going to have an edge because of the color of his skin? It's almost like they normally would give an edge to a candidate like that, and they're mad that this person is actually a Republican. That's what this is about. It's not Larry Elder making this about race. It's these Democrats making it about race. They're the ones talking about it. Nobody else cares. It shouldn't matter. You know, you would think that at some point we'd move beyond the whole racist notions, but that's not going to happen with the Democrat Party doing what it's doing currently. Never has worked that way. It's always the liberals that are thinking in terms of race and trying to use that. And then they're trying to make it seem as if Larry Elder, oh, he may think he has the edge, but in reality, he doesn't. Like, come on. I mean, let's be serious here. Larry Elder doesn't care about any of that. He's actually trying to do something good for California. Whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. He's not doing this because he's black. I don't understand. I mean, there was actually a writer that called him the Black David Duke. So these people are scared. Make no mistake about it, because they don't want somebody that's a Republican running or being actual governor of California. They're going to lose their absolute minds about this. That's why they're so mad about it. And they're so scared that some of them are even actually resorting to violence. Check this out. So if you're listening to this on audio, what you have literally is Larry Elder walking down the street. There's this guy that's next to him. Basically his security is kind of around him at this point. And you have this lady, it looks like, that's rolling or riding this bicycle up to him on the side, wearing a gorilla mask, okay? And she's throwing eggs right over his, trying to hit him, but missing over his head and everything out in the middle of the street. And then you have one of the security officers kind of move her, kind of stop her and kind of keep her detained on the side. And then she punches that guy in the face. And then another lady that I'm assuming was kind of a part of this, these people that hate Larry Elder, also hit this guy in the face. Ridiculous, right? You know, and the honest part is here, why is it that this isn't considered as a hate crime? I just don't understand it. Why is this not considered as a hate crime? This person should be in jail for this kind of stuff. I mean, you can't just go in the streets trying to throw things, assaulting people just because you don't like their political beliefs. But this is where we're at. I don't know if this person's a part of Antifa. I don't know what's going on. But these are the racists right here. These are the people that are legitimately racist. They hate him because he is a black person that is a Republican that disagrees with what they think he should be thinking, and therefore they have a problem with that to the point that they're willing to do this, to resort to violence, to hit people in the face because of it. That is very scary that we live in this world right now where people are resorting to these types of things. And the thing is that the Democrats would never tolerate this if it was a Democrat that was the one that was getting attacked, especially a black Democrat. I mean, could you imagine if Stacey Abrams was one of the people that was there, or if this happened to her and some Trump supporter threw or tried to throw an egg at her? I mean, you'd have this covered wall to wall for a month. She would be marketing off of it, making money off of it, you name it, it would be happening. But because of the fact that it's a Republican and it's Larry Elder, you're not going to hear the mainstream media talk about this. You're not going to hear Democrats being in uproar about this. If you're wondering where racism is in America today, to all the Democrats that are out there that are always asking, oh, you know, it's these racists that are out there, let me tell you where the racism is. It's in the Democrat Party, and they are keeping it alive and well. Because it is them that claim to be the party of tolerance, that claim to be the party of diversity. The problem is that they're not. They're just simply not. They are literally the ones that are being racist towards Larry Elder because he doesn't agree with them on certain political things. That's where we're at right now. And only when you agree with them on everything will they ever accept you as being a part of their group or being accepted by them. That's the only time that they are considered as tolerant. But as I mentioned, no media coverage of this whatsoever. You're not going to hear them talk about this because the mainstream media doesn't care. It's as simple as that. It appeases nobody at this point. But rest assured, if the situation, as usual, was reversed, it would be totally different. You wouldn't be able to hear the end of that story. And the CDC, as a result of this, as we know now, the CDC is not trustworthy. They never have been. Let's be honest. They change things. They morph things around. And we'll be getting into some of the changes that they made a little bit later as well. But one of the big ones is, or at least was, regarding children wearing masks in schools. And that is something that so many people have, we've seen Ron DeSantis fight hard against this in Florida. But now the CDC, we have the emails proving that they're not following the science. They are not following the science. They are basically caving to political influences, and this story proves that. So the CDMA issued guidance that it was unnecessary for unnecessary for vaccinated Americans to wear masks indoors and outside. This was the big thing, right? This was what was kind of published first when the beginning of the vaccines were taking place. They're saying, look, if you get the vaccine, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to wear a mask anymore. You're free from the mask. That was what they literally published in May. That applied to everyone, okay? Now, we have a series of emails that are showing that displeased teachers' unions, not the science, caused the CDC to change their opinion on that. So this is so one day after the CDC in that guidance in May that they put in place saying that anyone, as long as they're vaccinated, doesn't have to wear a mask anymore, was actually in contact with the White House Director of Labor Engagement. And she said and she stopped the NEA or the National Education Association from releasing a critical statement at this time. So now we have that statement here because the CDC was forwarded copies of the National Education Association's email. So that email from the National Education Association reads, "We appreciate the developing nature of the science and its implications for guidance, but releasing the guidance without accompanying school-related updates creates confusion and fuels the internal politicization of this basic health and safety issue." So the CDC has consistently said, and studies support, that mitigation measures, including to protect the most vulnerable, remain necessary in schools and institutions of higher education, particularly because no elementary or middle school students and few high school students have been vaccinated. This will also make it hard for school boards and leaders of institutions of higher education to do the right thing by maintaining mitigation measures. So we need the CDC clarification right away. So this is where they're doing. They're pressing them a little bit here. And it's kind of subtle, but what they're kind of the key statement to take out of that is where they're talking about the high school students and the middle school students by saying, look, but most of them aren't vaccinated, guys. Right? Because no elementary middle school students or few high school students have been vaccinated. Very, very few of them. Okay. So because of that reason, we need you guys to change what you're telling people because it might confuse the people that only care about what the CDC says. That's what's going on. So the next day, the literal next day on May 15th, the CDC updated its mask guidance to indicate that all people should wear a mask regardless of vaccination status. But no, we're supposed to trust the science, right? That's what's happening. I mean, the correlation is here. They're not using a study. They're not using data to back this. They're literally caving to teachers, institutions, and other entities because they think that that's what's best for you. And that's what's best for me. That's what's going on here. I don't trust the CDC because they do not have the people's interests in mind. They're not concerned about people being able to live their lives. They're not concerned about actually following the legitimate science and the numbers. They are caving to mere teachers' unions. That should worry everybody. This is why we need to continue to fight back hard against these mask mandates in schools. Because this was never about the science. You can tell, just tell your school board that. This was never about the science. It was always about the teachers' unions being the ones that are pulling all of the strings. They're not concerned about the kids. They're concerned about themselves. That's all they care about. And it's proven in all of this. So there's another study, by the way, which analyzed more than 90,000 elementary students in 169 Georgia schools and found that there was no statistical significance, or at least the difference, in schools that required students to wear a mask compared to schools that were that had the masks as optional. So the data is showing that it's not going to change much of anything. I mean, many of the kids are probably going to wear a mask anyways. They're mad about the few that don't. That's what they're upset about. That should scare everybody. And this is why we need to be pushing back on these public schools right now. So the CDC data also shows that small children are far more likely to die of the flu, a car accident, a swimming pool, cancer, or another ailment other than COVID-19. That's a fact, okay? And they're going to use that, okay? They're going to ignore that actual data, in favor of what the teachers' unions want. Yeah, I'm not buying this stuff. I'm not going to go with what the CDC is telling me at all. The teachers' unions obviously care more about themselves than they do the children, and the CDC obviously cares more about political decision-making than they do about the science. That's what this has always been about. So I don't care to hear from Democrats saying, if you just look at the science, well, no, you want us to look at the science that proves your point and ignore the rest of it. That's what it's always been. And even if the science did prove exactly what they wanted it to prove, people have the freedom to do what they want to do. But the point is showing you that the CDC is definitely not looking at actual science to actually tell or change their policies on things, or to change the way that they their opinions of certain things and how it should be implemented. They are literally caving to political pressure. If the teachers union is able to push them to do this, who do you think else is maybe has a vested interest in this, right? What about the vaccine companies like Pfizer, right? Maybe, think about the booster shots. Now we're going to have endless boosters, there's pills. I mean, these people are making bank because of what the CDC is telling people. And all the Democrats have to do is keep you afraid, keep the public afraid at large, and they'll be fine. The companies are going to get exactly what they want. They don't want people to go outside of the bubble. They want them to conform. But you can never comply your way out of tyranny. And that's a fact. It doesn't matter what you do. It's never good enough. So Biden now is planning to mandate the vaccine for all federal employees and contractors. This just came out, breaking news. So this isn't a surprise to me because, of course, Biden's going to do this. Of course, this administration is trying to do this. This is what they want. This is exactly what they want. And they're hoping that probably by them doing it, that everyone else is going to do it. Okay. So among the steps that the president will take and sign in the executive order, requiring all federal workers to be vaccinated with no option of being regularly tested to opt out of the requirement, according to a source familiar with the plans. The president will also sign an executive order directing the same standard be extended to employees and contractors who do business with the federal government. So the Department of Defense and the Department of Veteran Affairs, Indian Health Service, National Institute of Health will also complete their previously announced vaccination requirements, which the White House estimates covers about 2.5 million people. So now 2.5 million people are going to be required to take the vaccine just by being in loose association with the government in any capacity. Doesn't matter whether you do the test, there's no testing option. You know, at least when the colleges did it before, they were saying, well, you know, at least there's this option where you just get tested every week, which is ridiculous, but now they're not even offering that. So you just don't get a choice. And as I mentioned, where is the liability here? I mean, I have yet to have heard from the government, from Biden, from anybody else, any other company that's willing to go out there and say, you know what, guys, we're requiring you to take this vaccine, but we'll accept the responsibility of whatever takes place. We accept liability. So you're welcome to sue us if you die of the vaccine, if something else happens because as a result of you getting this vaccine. Nobody's wanting to take that responsibility. I wonder why. So much confidence in this thing that is proven not to be as effective as they initially thought it was going to be, for them to now be requiring it and not accepting any liability because of it. So no test. These people aren't following the science. You still have the MSM or the mainstream media, by the way, blaming the unvaccinated for the outbreak. That hasn't changed. I literally was just seeing a few videos just a week ago where they're still saying, hey guys, it's the unvaccinated right now that are causing all of these issues to happen. They don't care about what's actually taking place with the numbers. I mean, you would think that the vaccine would work. I mean, that's what this was about, right? I mean, for you to, by even saying that it's the unvaccinated that are doing something nefarious, you are assuming that the vaccinated are the people that are protected. That the vaccine even does anything. That if they had been vaccinated, that they would have been protected as a result of it. But there's nothing showing that to be the case. I mean, we're looking at the effectiveness of these vaccines, and we're being shown day by day that they're not as effective as they thought they were. Or else why would they be talking about boosters? So you have to run this through your mind here. Sure, you get the vaccine now. Okay. But what happens 6 months from now? You're going to have another booster and another booster. And for the rest of your life, you're going to be on boosters from the government, from whoever the company is that's requiring it, from your employer. You're going to be constantly on boosters for the rest of your life because it is never going away. I just don't understand why people don't realize that. It never is. It's going to take us years for, I think, enough people to wake up to realize how stupid all of this is. That's what we have to be looking at here, you know, and the thing is that the fact that we know that the vaccine isn't working as well as they thought it was, you know, the numbers are becoming more apparent every day. People are realizing how much the mainstream media now is lying to them about this by whipping them up into a frenzy. Because you effectively have this big war right now, this big divide. The divide in this country right now is not a race divide like it was last year. The big divide in this country that the Democrats are trying to push right now is the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated. The not worried versus the worried people. The people that are fearless and the people that are full of fear. That's what you have them doing right now. And basically saying you're bad if you don't have fear of this virus. You're bad if you're not constantly worried about this virus. You're bad if you didn't get the vaccine. And you're good if you got the vaccine. You're good if you're scared. You're good if you're worried. You're good if you keep wearing a mask. You're good if you're still locked down. You're good if you do what we tell you to do. But the second that you venture away from that, you're a bad person now. You're in the unvaccinated camp. I mean, it's really starting to kind of harken a little bit back to Nazi Germany almost. It's really crazy how they're trying to divide everybody at this point. Instead of just saying, hey, look, guys, the government doesn't have the power to do this because it's illegal, because we have our freedoms for now. That's what it should be, but that's not what they're doing. Right now, by the way, the mainstream media is also almost exclusively focusing on cases and not deaths. Why? Because whatever number looks worse is the one they're going to go with. Just one of the very simple tactics that they were using all the way back to last year to cover it up. When the deaths weren't that bad, oh, cases. That's all you heard about. When the deaths were really bad, deaths. They didn't talk about the cases at all. It's always going to be whatever looks or makes the situation look worse than it is. The media makes their money off of people being in fear. So my justification is you shouldn't be fearing anybody but the Lord. Don't fear anything that the government is telling you to fear. It's never a good idea. It never works out for you whatsoever. But even the definition of vaccine has changed. I mean, we have to look at the facts here. The definition of vaccine has been altered by the CDC now. Because when you can't actually come up with a legitimate vaccine, what do? Just redefine the terms. I mean, isn't that exactly what the Democrat Party has been doing for the past few years now? Just change the terminology. Doesn't mean anything to be a man or a woman. We can change that around, right? Well, now we have them changing the definition of the vaccine as well. All right, so the original definition for vaccine went like this. So it says, or said, on the CDC website, that a vaccine was a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease. So under vaccination, it was considered as the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce, and the focus words here are to produce immunity to a specific disease. Okay, that's what we really want to focus here. So a vaccine is supposed to produce immunity to a specific disease. That's the goal. That's the point. So when we talk about the flu, the normal definition of that was that you basically had a injection that had a portion of the virus actually in there, but it was kind of a dormant, non-infecting virus effectively. So it wasn't going to make you sick for the most part. It was just going to be something that allowed your body to basically fight against it in a way that wasn't going to make you sick. So therefore, your body learned to fight against it if you actually got the flu. That is what a vaccine, by definition, has been and has always been, what it really still is, obviously. But now the new definition, they've changed this. So now the new definition of it is a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. Okay, so what you really want to focus on there is it saying producing immunity. Okay. So they're changing all of this, and the new definition moves the goalpost and says that it stimulates the body's immune response. So one is producing immunity. The new definition says that it stimulates the body's immune response. It seems subtle, but it's a big, big departure because no longer are we looking at what the actual definition should be. So the immune response produced by COVID vaccines appears to, in many situations, spark more infection in some patients because of how it works. The mRNA vaccine that they're using, or what they want to call the vaccine that they're using there, is actually having your body produce the virus effectively so that your body can fight against it. It's kind of coding it into your DNA or your RNA to do this, okay? And that's how they are forming this type of thing. But under this new definition, what's kind of crazy about it is that it really classifies, or several things would actually fall under that definition of stimulating the body's immune response, right? So things like zinc, or maybe even vitamin C, or hydroxychloroquine, and even ivermectin, because those are all things that stimulate the body's immune response, right? I mean, the point is that with them classifying it this way, they're trying to make room for the fact that the term vaccine was never or should never have been applied to the actual medicines that they were putting out there. They never wanted to admit that, but that never should have been applied to that name. They needed it to be applied to that name because it makes it sound safe. It makes it sound like the same thing you're getting from the flu, but it's not the same thing you're getting from the flu. And that's why I just advise people to just do your research, know what's in these things, know what's best for you to do this. We still don't know the long-term effects of any of this, by the way. There's no telling what the long-term effects are because there haven't been any trials to determine this. So that's really what I'm oftentimes worried about when I see this stuff like that. But the CDC is changing the definition of words to change perception. That's the society we're living in right now. That should worry you in every single way. Because if they can do it for this, what else could they do it for? How many things could they possibly change the definition for? And all because they changed it on our website, guys. We're just supposed to accept it as being the case? The left is, or I guess you could say they're kind of the masters at this point of redefining terms and redefining what words mean. But I'm not going to forget what the actual vaccine means versus what they're putting out there, which is not really a vaccine, not by definition. They can call it that all day, but that's not what it is. And there's a and you see them doing this right now by changing these definitions. But either way, those medications that I did mention, like ivermectin and HCQ, they actually have a good track record. We know this. Many people have taken it, have seen that. They're obviously still involved in clinical trials with the FDA or whatever it is. But these, by the way, ivermectin was actually being recommended to African immigrants coming to the United States, by the way. And they're ignoring that. And basically saying, oh, it's horse paste. They're just using whatever they can to basically try to discredit what it is. Meanwhile, how many people have died because they didn't have access to that medication, had no idea that it existed? Really makes you think. But last but not least, this episode's TikTok liberal gets vaccinated in a dress. And no, they're not a woman.
Decided to get my vaccine in a prom dress. Smile to the healthcare workers. And I can't help love. Even got a lift from security. Put on your favorite outfit and I was you. Get vaccinated.
Okay, so seriously, who in the world? I just have to ask, who in the world wasn't gonna get vaccinated? Saw this video and then was like, alright, I'm gonna do it now. Yeah. Man in a dress. I mean, come on. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. The actual thing I said kind of in the beginning kind of basically self-explains all of this if you're watching or listening to this on audio. But it really is just this idea of trying to figure out what is the point of this. I mean, what is happening with this world right now where people think they need to show up to get a vaccine in a dress? I mean, the real simple explanation is obviously they're just trying to get attention, and that's where we're at right now. But a lot of it might even be mental illness as well. I mean, we're not supposed to say that, but let's be honest. I mean, whatever would kind of charge a guy to motivate a guy to show up to the vaccine in a dress has to be for the sake of a little bit of mental illness and a bit of just trying to get attention, get a bunch of clicks and follows and everything else like that. I don't get it. I really don't. The vaccine is just extremely cringe. And the fact is that, of course, you have the right to wear whatever it is you choose to wear. Whatever. But stacking the vaccine on top of this just makes me question everything about this. If anything, this guy single-handedly, maybe I'll see the positive, right? Maybe I'll just view the glass as half full in this situation and just say that this guy is single-handedly causing more vaccine hesitancy than anybody could. Then way more than I could. I mean, seeing this alone right there, if that doesn't scare you about getting the vaccine, I don't know what will. So with that being said, that's all I have for you on this episode. I thank you for watching or listening to this one, and I will see you on the next one.